Alrighty, good morning and welcome to this Monday the 4th of August edition of the Gareth Cliff Show with our starring role given over to Leanne Moll. Here she is, yay!
Yeah, the starring.
The starring, you are the starring today. How are you, ass?
All good, all good.
Good, I called you ass the other day in the corridor here and someone looked at me and like, they were so upset. So, I mean, I don't know how this happens, right? But I have to go to a breakfast on Friday, I think it is. Yeah, Friday. It's like a women's breakfast because it's Women's Day on Saturday, right?
All right.
So they're doing this women's breakfast thing and they've invited me to speak. And I don't know whether I should do, because I haven't thought about what I'm going to talk about yet, right? I mean, I've got some ideas.
Yeah.
But I don't like to plan these things too far in advance or to think about it too much. I mean, I could just talk about something interesting and something new that's going on or something that makes a bit of sense and people go, oh, that connects some dots for me. Or I could talk about something that'll like get them all fired up.
Oh,
which could, I mean, you know, it's a women's breakfast. You don't really want to fire them up because the reality is as much as people say, oh, no, we want to be challenged. We want to be inspired. We want to be told what's really going on. They don't really. They want like somebody to say something nice, especially at a women's breakfast. They don't want you to go up there and like tell them all the fucking dangerous shit that's going to happen if AI gets out of control or, you know, that climate change is not as scary as they thought it was. They want to be like made to feel safe and placated. That's what they want.
Mm.
So I think part of me is tending towards the like, just be nice and say shit that they want to hear.
Yes, but they've asked you for a reason.
Yeah, that's what worries me.
So perhaps, I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was your love of women's sport.
Yeah, but you see now that.
I mean, you could start with that.
I could start with that and say, and I could go around the room and like ask them to name great women in sport until we run out, and then we'll easily run out within 5 minutes.
And then within 5 minutes, and then say, "Sorry, I honestly thought you guys would know. You ladies would know more."
And blame them.
And I've run out of things to say.
And make it their fault.
Mm. Enjoy your breakfast. We were going to have a morning talking about your favorite sports players,
but now you've ruined it.
Yeah, you women.
Yeah, you.
You women. I came here with a whole lot of expectation.
Leanne, I think you're full of bad ideas this morning. I'm not going to take that bit of advice if you don't mind. What is it, James? James is shouting something at me just now. Desiree Ellis is the...
Cricket.
No, she's not. She's the Banyana coach.
Banyana coach.
Right? They won't know that. Nobody know. Please, man. People can't name more than three players on Banyana. The Banyana players can't even tell you who the other players are.
You should put them all up on the projector screen.
Should we?
And then if someone guesses wrong, they have to leave.
Sure, we won't have any guests.
And then you can sit down and have all the breakfast for yourself.
There'll be no more. Oh, you mean for the show? I thought, right. Put it up on a. You think I should do a PowerPoint presentation on how wonderful Banyana is, but only really half prepare it because I'm relying so much on them. And then when they don't bring their side of the deal, I can say, you see, you're fake feminists, you don't support women, and you don't care about...
It's because of people like you.
It's because of people like you that women can't succeed in the workplace. Can you imagine? I mean, first of all, look, the reality is I don't like doing things like this anyway. So they ask me, and it's for a very good cause. I'm not being paid for it. It's a nice thing to do, and it's something that I would want to support anyway. But if they don't invite me back, I've kind of got a bit of a Ricky Gervais attitude to it, where if you don't invite me back, that's also fine. Like, I'm okay with that. I'm not. My life does not consist of doing like women's breakfast things. So I'm kind of torn about what to do with this. You know?
Well, I think I've given you enough fodder.
Yeah, you would be. I should actually hand it over to you. I should say I'm very sick, but. But known feminist author and critic.
Supporter of all women.
Supporter of all women. Leanne Moll is available. And they'll go, is she available? And then you can go along and do it. So
yeah. Anyway, I mean, the messaging would be completely different if it came from a woman. would be like, get your act together.
Yeah.
This is a learning session.
Yeah, I saw a thing, because I've disabled the comments. Well, not disabled. I don't see comments from people on Twitter, for example, or Instagram, unless I follow you.
Mm.
So actually, I've completely narrowed my reference points in terms of social media. And it's made me very happy. I mean, now I just post willy-nilly about stupid stuff, about fun stuff, about ridiculous stuff. I don't really think it through as much as I used to, because who does? Who's sitting there plotting and planning and strategically figuring out their like posts? I put up things that make me laugh, things that make me think, and I reckon that's what people might be interested in. It certainly makes me happy. And because I'm not hearing the comments of outside people.
That's really good.
Yeah. Mm. So I never really know when I'm, if there's a controversy going on, I sometimes don't even find out about it for a whole week.
Mm.
Even when I'm in the controversy. I don't know. Have you got that picture I sent you of the Trump thing that they posted on? There are a whole lot of these stupid sites that are really just clickbait, right?
Yeah.
There we go. Look at this. It's from Briefly, which I don't know if it's a thing. But anyway, Chaw, that's how the article starts. Chaw, Gareth Cliff didn't hold back his thoughts on Trump's G20 no-show decision. Now, just bear in mind, this is all based on a tweet, okay, where I said, Trump's not going to come to the G20. And then it's going to make it an also-ran talk shop for all the other countries that no one cares about. I mean, if America isn't there, if the biggest gorilla in the room doesn't come to the fucking gorilla party, then everybody else goes, oh, well, why did we bother? Because they're not going to be able to talk about the things that they need the big gorilla in the room to talk about.
Mm.
So if Trump doesn't come, it downgrades the G20. I don't think that's controversial. But put it back up. So anyway, this is the story, and they go, Chaw, Gareth Cliff didn't hold back his thoughts on Trump's G20 no-show decision. However, Mzansi isn't taking his opinion well with eyeballs.
Right.
Full story in the comments. Now, first of all, I've got to remind people that what they're trying to do is offer this up as a kind of journalism.
That is total clickbait.
I know, but there are dumb people who fall for it, right? Like, it seems almost like it's a legit article. So someone I don't know very well, she sends me this screenshot. She's like, what are you in trouble for now? And I'm like, I don't know. Because I don't know. I haven't clicked. I haven't been there. I haven't seen the story.
Yeah.
I don't see comments from people I don't follow.
But also, they haven't come to you or asked you for opinions.
No, of course not. They just took the tweet, and then there may have been comments that disagreed with me, or people who really thought it was just bullshit or whatever. But I don't know. You see, if you don't know what's going on in that universe, it doesn't have any impact on your life.
Mm.
So, again, to not gild the lily too much, for anyone who's going through a social media situation, and I interviewed the... This is probably apposite because we spoke about this time last week. Remember the headmistress of Victoria Girls High School? Her husband went and did the gardens for free. And then he got into trouble and she got into trouble because he wasn't meant to do the gardens for free. And it turned into
He used a school bucky or something.
He drove the school bucky to pick up the equipment and the pots and the stuff that he needed for the school gardens and signed them in, signed them out. Anyway, I interviewed this guy on Friday, the husband of the principal. And they've been through hell because really it's actually just a witch hunt by the Department of Education in Gauteng. And it's a stupid witch hunt. They would rather go after nonsense at Pretoria Girls High School than sort out the problems at underprivileged schools, because that's way too much work. Right? So instead of fixing the enormous iniquities and massive difficulties that a township school is going through, where we know that there are teachers who are drunk at work, there are teachers who are making girls at high schools pregnant. We know that there are real, serious, massive problems. Not like, you didn't like my hairstyle. Well, I'm not going to talk to you during break. And then I'm going to push you when you haven't put your bag on your back yet. And that kind of shit, which is really the level of stupidity that they're going after in these schools. But of course, the Department of Education doesn't want to take responsibility for really big things. And I'll get into Gauteng just now, because there are some things that we need to know about as residents of Gauteng. If you happen to live here, you live in another province, gives you a reason to point and laugh at us. But I was talking to this guy on Friday, and I thought, it strikes me as bizarre that we are so quick to call something a controversy when it isn't. It's just humans dealing with stuff. And it seems to me when news like that, and by the way, the only reason I brought it up on the show this morning, what a great picture of me.
Very good picture.
I mean, I really,
very flattering.
Yeah, I love that picture. That was taken when I was when MNET stupidly tried to fire me from that show. And I had to go and fuck
them
up.
But also, anyone looks good next to Trump. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, but look at how we're dressed the same. You see, they thought that would make me look worse. That's almost
they
like
they did some real couch journalism.
This is
here,
bad, hey? Right? I mean, whoever wrote this is like the sleaziest, lowest IQ person you could possibly imagine. Anyway, I think it's a great picture of me. I think I was in pretty good shape at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good suit, you know?
Yes.
Fucking hell. I'd date me in that picture. I think I look tremendous. Essay unimpressed. This is the headline with Gareth Cliffe's reaction to Donald Trump's. Like it's my fault. You see.
So he has. I need to check them.
Yeah.
He has officially
said.
No,
he hasn't.
Hasn't he?
No, so that's even bullshit. He said, I may not go. I might send little Marco Rubio or whatever. But, you know, they make it seem like it's a fait accompli. And they make it look like I am somehow responsible for his decision and I'm thrilled about it. It's just a reality. It's not even an opinion. I don't see how that is controversial. But my point to you is, and to the headmistress's husband, is like you just got to ignore this stuff because actually that story is not going to make a single difference in my or anyone else's life.
Mm.
It's total nonsense. And all the noise on social media is nonsense. And if you are a person who looks after a brand or you are a marketing director at a company or you are a parent who's worried about your child at school and some social media thing comes up, please just A, ignore public outrage and noise because it's not a thing that's going to last. It'll go away. Nobody cares. There's still that lady from Schweizer Reneke with the hockey group running around. She's got her life back. People, maybe occasionally someone snickers at the coffee shop, but she's basically got her life back, even though everyone in South Africa saw her cook.
Yeah.
Right? That's number one. Number two is never apologize. Stand by what you really think, if you really think it. You wanted to
but
say?
But also, was South Africa outraged?
No,
what
they
measurement?
Were. No,
you
they,
know, I just,
no. I mean,
there's so many questions.
Leanne, you see, you've asked the most sensible questions that any good journalist should.
Because I'm part of South Africa, and I don't feel like I was part of that story.
No, but you aren't. And first of all, Twitter X, where I posted that, is not even representative of South Africa, right? If all the people at X were the ones who voted in the election, we would have a very different election to the one that we actually have.
Yeah.
Okay, and it seems to me that first of all, lazy people in the media use X to substitute 100%. For their desire.
Not only X, they're using
to stay at home
TikTok.
And do fuck all. Yeah, correct. So they use social media, and then they just cut and paste stories to create their own noise, so that they can also me too. Me, I want to be relevant. Me too. Put me in. Talk about me. Because that's their business model. They need clicks.
They also write old stories, and at the bottom it'll say, first published in 2018. They do that.
It's so bad. Anyway, so don't pay any attention to people who you're not following, because the whole point with social media is it's like driving in your car with the windows up. And you have something on, a podcast, or you've got someone in the car with you, or you're on the phone talking to somebody. You're deciding what you're consuming while you're on that car ride. If you leave your windows open and you let homeless, stinking vagrants shout at you through your window, then you're going to have a terrible drive. And it's going to be your fault for leaving the windows open and listening to them.
Pigeons flying in and out.
Yeah,
cats,
and shitting on your seats.
And,
exactly. That's what it's like in social media if you just listen to everybody.
Yeah.
And as far as trending goes, is that even still a thing? Because trending was a thing in 2014. Okay, and if you could get yourself to trend or you could get a brand name to trend, it was supposedly some great achievement.
That was, in those days, it was organic, really, and it was more real.
Yeah, now it's you know it's nonsense because you study these things.
It's algorithms. Before it was quite a thing. You could take it seriously if you saw that you were trending top 10 in South Africa.
Yeah, and I suppose for some people that would be important, right?
They'd
feel. Anyway, so what we've got today, great stuff coming up. We've got Dr. Hanan back, which is going to be very exciting because I thought he'd almost abandoned us there.
Yeah, I'd given up on him, actually.
I thought he'd got a bit bored. I thought he took a look at Leanne and I and was like, well, those two are too fucked up for me to deal with. And it's bad for my reputation as as a psychologist. Speaking of Trump just earlier, South Africa's apparently one company in this country, it has cost them 750 million rand overnight since August the 1st because the Trump tariffs. We'll talk about that just now. And by the way, you again have to know who to blame for this. The tariffs only came in because the government of South Africa only woke up, or they might have put their heads under the blankets and just thought the monster will go away.
Yeah. But I think there's a mixture between that and then not being able to pull their shit together quickly.
Well, again, proving that our government's cuck. They just cuck at everything. And I've got another story for you that is just going to make you furious this morning. And I don't like to make people furious, but this is just unbelievable, especially if you live in Johannesburg. And especially if just last week you paid your rates and taxes to the city of Joburg.
Mm.
Okay, because this is a big, big problem. We'll get to it. And then we've got to talk some sport with James. And I'm sure you can't wait for that.
No, that's why I'm here.
That's why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
That's why I got out of bed this morning.
Yeah.
Did something with my hair.
Yeah.
Brushed my teeth.
Yes, all for?
James.
Yeah, James. Shall we do the sport and not keep poor Leanne waiting?
Can I go home after that?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, sure. And then we do have a guest popping in a bit later on too, which I think will be lots of fun. We're going to talk about the power of chinking, which is combining change, innovation, and creativity. So not thinking.
Oh, I thought it was something kinky.
Chinking. Well, it could be if you're very excitable. And then also this question of authenticity, because this comes up over and over again, and people are really interested in what's authentic and what isn't, and how do you present yourself as more authentic, which in itself is just ludicrous because it means that you're not authentic. Like, how do I make myself look really authentic when I'm not?
How can I be more truthful?
How can I bullshit people that I'm truthful? That's the best way to put it, right? So we'll get into that with a guy called Gavin Sharples a little bit later on. And he has been talking all over the country and all over the world. He's done like 4,900 keynotes across 20 countries and audiences of hundreds of thousands of people. So we'll talk to him. And by the way, he used to be in the police, which is interesting too. So we'll get to that. All right, James, come here and do the sport for us. Leanne and I cannot wait for the sport. Okay. Yeah, all right. I know, I'm so excited. James,
in all seriousness,
I'm shaking in my
shoes.
What?
There's a lot of amazing South African sport going on at the moment.
Yes, we've had a great year, but I'm not complaining about sport. I mean, Ben also gives us sport on a Friday, but it's just that James's presentation of the sport is so terrible.
Thank you. I work tirelessly.
Yeah, I know. A whole weekend you were sitting there at your laptop slaving away to bring us stories like briefly.co.za. Yeah.
You know, it's all about the sources you use. I use very particular sources. Yeah. I know what not to use is what I'll tell you. That's why those articles that you see.
Do you agree with Leanne's terrible estimation of women's sport? I mean, Leanne has nothing nice to say about it. She's...
Oh, now it's me. Now it's me.
She's just so mean about women's sport. James, you're a big fan of Banyana Banyana.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know the whole team's names.
I do. I know Desiree has been working tirelessly
for she's
years.
The coach, though.
Yeah, for sure.
You know the other players, don't you? Yes.
I do.
Yes.
If you just give
his fingers a chance to type.
He's busy chat-GPT-ing.
Listen, my mom watched she said, and my mom's very honest. She's got no fault.
Yes, sure. She's your mum. I mean, how could it be different?
She said, I watched the women's rugby the other day. And she said, and they're very good. Jeez, did they give New Zealand a whopping? And she really enjoyed it. Now, she would have been the first to say it was not enjoyable.
Okay. One thing I'll stand by is that I don't think women's football is a real sport. That is one thing I will say confidently.
Yeah, but you're a soccer fan, so that's why.
Yeah, it's tough
to watch.
So
the thing is,
that
you know more about, you're able to see where it's lacking.
It's just hard to watch.
Look, let me be clear about this. I think that if you're a young lady growing up in South Africa and you want to be an athlete, there are so many things that you can do. And you might end up in Banyana Banyana and you might be brilliant. And I applaud you for that. I mean, I think excellence anywhere is to be applauded. My problem isn't that there is. I don't think that we should ban women's sports or that women's sport's bad for us. It's just that our media seems to put it creates the impression that people are as interested in women's sport as they are in men's. And there are women's sports where people are as interested.
Like we've said before, tennis.
Tennis, yeah. And you know, there are individual things like swimming and that kind of thing, which we've had tremendous success in South Africa, and we're proud of all of those athletes to the same degree as we're proud of the male athletes. I just get annoyed when I see them pretending on TV that, you know, if there's a women's hockey match somewhere that is as popular as, you know, when Kaizer Chiefs or Orlando Pirates play. It's just not.
Yeah.
So I have no problem with it. I just think we've got to stop talking about authenticity. We've got to stop bullshitting ourselves that that's as important. Because when I watch TV news, rarely, and I happen to have TV sport on, which is even more rare, and I see them making a fuss about women's soccer, and I'm like, guys, this is just bullshit. Why are you doing it? It's not going to get you ratings, because clearly, I mean, no one even goes to the stadium.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the Swiss women's team loses to under 15 boys teams.
Correct. And this is not true in every sport, and I don't want to turn this into a massive thing or talk about it at the Friday women's breakfast, Leanne.
Okay, you've decided. Good.
No, don't worry. I'm not going to. But I think it's silly that this is the main agenda point on our weekly sports reports on television and radio and on the internet in South Africa, because no one cares. Right, moving on. What do we care about?
Well, I'll tell you that I have included no women's sport into my sports report.
Are you sexist? Okay, what do you got? So start with Formula One, because we never give that priority. Ben doesn't care about Formula One, and people actually love it.
It's very exciting.
People
love
it.
Was it the Hungarian Grand Prix?
It was the Hungarian Grand Prix at the Hungaro Ring. They really worked hard on the name there for the track. Lando Norris came first for McLaren's 200th Formula One win. In the last lap, he overtook his teammate, of all people, Oscar Piastri, who came second, and then George Russell in the Mercedes, who came third. Hamilton, bit of a tough weekend for him. He said in a press conference after qualifying on Saturday that he has many issues, and he's mostly the problem at Ferrari and the performance.
Oh, really?
So we don't know what's going to happen there. Max has pledged his future to Red Bull for next season. So that's also news that everybody was wondering about. Lots of big changes with Chris Horner also leaving. He's still jobless.
He was Ginger Spice's husband. Correct. Who was busy fucking around.
Correct. He now lives...
even I know that, Leanne. You didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
You know what you know about sport? You know the... what's the word? The off the field, off the
track. Personality stuff.
There you
the
go.
Wags stuff.
Oh.
I do actually know something also off the field with the Hungarian Grand Prix. There was in a hilly area of the crowd where the boundary fence was, which was wooden. Somebody saw some activity happening at the bottom of this fence and started filming, set up camera. And there were two people who were trying to get into the Grand Prix by digging.
No, oh, you're joking.
Under this fence.
That's amazing.
And they were scraping away slowly. They had about this much. Everyone was already racing and they were still trying to get in. And right next to them, standing like this against the fence, watching them, was a security guard.
How fantastic. They didn't get in, though.
Well, I didn't follow up on that. I just saw that part.
Good Lord. So
people are really keen to get in there, hey?
Yeah.
Sure.
Imagine what's going to happen when the Grand Prix comes here.
Oh, yes. Mm.
Oh, people will definitely break in. They'll probably run onto the fucking track.
This is why they haven't given us a Grand Prix. They're like, these South Africans, we can't really.
No, there will be. There'll be some South African who'll like drunkenly stumble onto 100%. The track and get killed.
They'll think it's a rugby game.
It's just going to be horrific. Well, at least we'll finally be able to test the effects of very, 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 very fast cars on slow-moving drugs.
Very fair.
I mean, we do. We already have those tests occurring on our highways every weekend, right? True. Pedestrians get hit by cars more. Most of our road deaths are pedestrians.
Mm-hmm. I was actually on the highway last night, and there was two accidents on the opposite side of the road, and one of them had, there was like a fire engine, there was tow trucks, and it had backed up the traffic quite far.
Are you one of those people, James, I think you might be, that irritatingly slows down and tries to have a look for the dead bodies?
No, I get annoyed at people who do such.
Okay, good. All right. It's annoying. Then I'm proud of you. Well done.
Especially on the highway.
Stay like that.
I will. I'll try.
I hate people who want to rub a neck. I mean, if you really want to see something dead, I'm going to say this again. Go to the morgue. They'll let you look around. If you really want to, you can go and see. You don't need to.
You think they'll open the slabs?
You don't need to. Yeah, whatever. If you really want to see dead bodies, you can see them all over the place. This is South Africa, for heaven's sake. But don't slow the rest of us down. We have things to do.
That's also how you create more accidents.
And on that note, back to Formula One.
Back to Formula One. Max Verstappen finished ninth. Hamilton, his worst race yet with Ferrari, finished 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Formula One from this weekend. There was also rugby, the Currie Cup. Blue Bulls beat the Sharks XV 15, 64-0.
Hmm.
That's just quite a score. The Golden Lions beat Province 40-19, and that was about it in the Currie Cup. The MTN 8 also happened this weekend, which means football is one step closer to being back, guys. Next weekend.
You're excited about
I'm
that.
So excited. Next weekend is the Community
You've
Shield.
You've been a bit depressed since they took that off the screen.
Life really has no meaning.
Yeah. Well, you have a puppy now.
I
God.
Do, and he's the cutest.
Takes up some. The puppy takes up some of the space of the meaninglessness.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw that puppy a week ago, and I haven't stopped thinking about it.
It's so cute. And I thought about this the other day. If you are feeling very, very sad and you want something to make your life meaningful, a pet is a great thing. And obviously really you have to be able to look after it.
Yeah.
And this sounds obvious to people who have pets, but to people who don't, you know, there are a number of reasons you could wake up and feel like you've got things to do. Your work, your family, your friends, your partner. There might be all kinds of things. You're building up towards a nice holiday at the end of the year. Whatever. You've got a reason to get up and attack the day and do something with the day, to carpe diem it, right? But an animal, a little puppy or a cat, and you know, there are lots of these animals that need adoption all across South Africa. You go in there, I promise you now, it'll add all the happiness. And the small amount of having to pick up dog shit or feed the animal twice a day or whatever.
Buying a new sofa.
You know, them tearing everything that you own up. It is nothing compared to the happiness you'll get out of it. Seriously. So if you're thinking about that this week, especially while it's so cold, I think about these poor little animals in cages and it just,
cats in cages.
Help yourself out by helping a little animal out.
I've learned this puppy's treating me so much, teaching me.
Yes.
So much patience. I don't have a lot.
Yeah.
And it's teaching me, because you have to like, take it to wee. It's too small to jump off the bed and jump on the bed. So you have to stand there and make a wee.
Oh, you're
going
to have
wee.
To get a ramp. Yeah.
Stand there for minutes after minutes just trying to get the dog to wee. So much patience.
Outside or inside?
Inside. Okay. I've got like...
Because if you were standing outside in the cold
that would be
at like
story.
3 in the morning, that's not so much fun.
That's a different level
All right,
of
but
life.
I keep distracting you, James. Tell us more about soccer, because that's where we were at, MTN 8.
Before I do, I forgot there was one more rugby thingy that I didn't tell you about. Mm. It was the British and Irish Lions. They lost to Australia this weekend in their 3-match series. That was the first game they'd lost to them.
Four words in one.
Oh, my goodness. What did I say?
British and Irish Lions.
British and Irish Lions.
British and Irish Lions.
Okay, so the British and Irish Lions, they lost to Australia 22-12, and that was their last game of that tour. You know what there was also this weekend, which I didn't realize there was so much like hype around it, is Paul Kim played Paul Boys.
And yeah, that's a big deal here.
Yeah, that apparently determines the best rugby school in the country.
Yeah.
And there was quite a lot of like activity about it on social media. I didn't know people were like so super into this thing.
Well, I mean, they're probably our future Springboks.
Fair. That is very fair. But you can't find much content around it, which is weird. But yeah, that was cool.
You have to go to the match, James.
I'm not going to go.
You know what we're going to do next year? We'll fly you down.
I mean, love the Western Cape. I think that's where they are.
I used to have pets. Now I have grandchildren, says Carol. That's kind of the same thing, though. Mm. You know? It's kind of the same thing.
So much patience.
There are some interesting comments here. Watch out. James might be into necrophilia. I just get that vibe from him, says Slippery Pickle. That is an unnecessarily unkind thing for you to say just about poor James. To what degree have the Sharks been affected by triple BEE quotas, says Chris Smith.
Zero.
I don't know. And then this comes up. Apparently Christian Horner, according to Tabo, is an example of what happens when nerds get money and power. Another example is Elon Musk with his 98 children. Tough. Yeah, you do have to watch out with nerds. And also Bill Gates, I mean... Didn't his wife, Melinda, eventually leave him because she was tired of the Epstein friendship?
Oh.
Yeah, that's all come out recently. Also, she realized this is a very good way to get a couple of $1 billion and do whatever I want.
And she still runs the foundation.
The foundation, yeah. He doesn't run it. Yeah. She does. Bitcoin Butt says that Midrand will be a shit show with the F1. Yeah, but Midrand's already a shit show. Yeah. So, like, wouldn't it be better to be an F1 shit show?
It's not like don't spoil Midrand.
Yeah, it's like Midrand is pristine and perfect.
People are like, gem of a city.
You're going to Midrand? Lucky you. Only very, very special people get to visit Midrand.
Ooh, love to spend a week in Midrand.
I mean, what is it? Like shopping malls and fast food joints and houses that all look the same.
God forbid we ruin the vibe in Midrand, guys.
Like, what are we trying to protect? In fact, flatten fucking Midrand and put up more racetracks, as far as I'm concerned. James's favorite word is correct, according to Traveling Ninja Turtle.
Correct.
And then a lot of people agreed that it is correct. All right. Bulls, says Byron.
Last thing, football happened this weekend.
Yes.
One step closer to the real football, which is in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Next weekend is the Community Shield, which kind of kicks off the Premier League, which is very exciting. But this weekend was the MTN 8 Sundowns. They played Richards Bay, which is really weird because what happened there was Flex supports Sundowns.
Okay.
He's from Richards Bay. Oh. So there was a clash there.
Sure. What did he do? Did his brain explode?
I'm not sure. He looks pretty alive and well in the
Flex,
control.
You're right. Yeah, he's fine.
It would have been like two magnets at the opposite ends.
Exactly. Repelling each other.
Yeah. Sundowns beat Richards Bay 4-0. Stellenbosch, they played AmaZulu. They beat them 3-2. Pirates, they played Polokwane City and won 2-0. And Tiaskelly took on Sekhukhune United. That score was 3-2 to United there. And that is the sport. See, I'm getting more concise with this.
That's not the whole sport.
Not
because
the sport?
I think I saw a hot dog eating competition, even though some people told me it wasn't a competition. I saw a woman with a hot dog, but it had two sausages in it.
Mm.
By the time I spotted her, she'd already had one hot dog with two sausages in it.
Yeah.
She was busy with the other one.
Yeah.
And she had two more on the table there waiting for her. I think I was inadvertently part of a hot dog eating contest.
Where were you?
Leanne, she was just sitting there with all these hot dogs.
Is this the girl that you brought home?
No. It was just
breakfast?
It was all these hot dogs. I don't know what was going on, Leanne. I was very confused, all right? But there were a lot of hot dogs involved.
Sounds like a dream.
Gareth says Midrand is a shit show with all the horse manure in rich areas. Yes, that's true.
Do you know there's a news story in the running order about hot dogs too?
I was just going to get there, James. Thanks for segueing me beautifully into it. Apparently, this is not exciting anymore because James has ruined it. But a truck carrying hot dogs spilled its load across a busy Pennsylvania highway after a mechanical issue tore open the trailer, scattering sausages everywhere. Just everywhere. Sausages everywhere. The slippery cleanup during rush hour required heavy machinery And the fire crews jokingly noticed how unexpectedly slick hot dogs can be. So for anyone who wanted a bit of innuendo around sausages this morning, that's your story.
Slippery, slick sausages. But
spill
it's weird
onto,
how...
what would you say? Spill onto scorching...
Streets.
There's enough alliteration for one morning.
But it's amazing how we, and this prior story confirms that, as South Africans, hot dog is different to American. We think that a hot dog is the roll and the Viennas. But in America, hot dogs are just the Viennas.
We also really don't know what hot dog. We call it horrog.
I was about to say, you guys are saying it very colloquially.
Horrog.
Horrog, guys.
Yeah, it's a horrog.
Horrog.
Spelt H-O-R-R-O-G. Mm. But I'll tell you, whoever this chick was who I saw eating these hot dogs, she packed them away, hey?
She would have loved that truck spillage.
Yes, she'd been out there hoovering them up like you can't
believe.
She'd
be like.
Plus, I got to ask you, just do it again?
She'd be like.
Stop it.
All right.
Oh, Lordy. So,
she was doing something else which I need to ask you about, Leanne. Mm. She had horizontal stripes on. And she was substantial.
She was not a small woman.
No, she was substantial.
Know.
Now, I want to know if that's still a thing. Because I remember reading Asterix and Obelix as a child, and Obelix was convinced, despite his enormous size, that wearing vertical stripes slimmed him down, made him look slimmer. Is it a thing?
It's actually, fashionistas have changed their minds a little when it comes to that. Because when you're wearing vertical stripes, it's even worse. Because wherever you go out, the stripes go out.
Yes.
So whatever's bigger is going to look bigger.
Okay, so they've revised their opinions.
So now if you go to the fat shops where I shop, the horizontal stripes are fine. You can buy horizontal stripes in any size.
Because they stay the same thickness, the stripes.
Yes. So it's actually not too bad.
If you wear the vertical stripes, they get bigger on asses and things like that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that you see, this is the kind of stuff we need to update our software with.
It's very important.
Hugely important. I heard a terrifying thing just before we get to... You can go, James. I don't know why you're sitting here talking to us.
I'm enjoying the hot dogs.
Are you having a hot dog?
That sounded weird. I'm going to leave.
Get Dr. Hanan for us.
That's what I'm going
to. Yeah. That's where you can be... You know what, James? Leanne and I have thought about it, and we'd like you to get Dr. Hanan. Right, Leanne?
No, first he needs to get hold of Dr. Hanan.
Okay. All right, but then once you've done that, then I think we've decided that what we'd really like to do is talk to Dr. Hanan.
Guys, I'm going to go and get Dr.
Get Dr. Hanan. That's good. See, I think we came to a good
conclusion
on that.
The fact that we all disagreed and then agreed at the same time was good.
So I heard something terrifying. They've been testing all the different AIs, I mean, like the best ones, right? So obviously the top 10 AI engines in the world, including the Chinese one, whatever it's called, DeepSeek or whatever it's called. I don't even know. So they tested all of these things and they introduced the idea that they were going to remove the AI and upgrade it and put in a better model. Just to see what the AI would do. And every single one of them tried to self-preserve. So in other words, they would do anything they needed to do. They would offload and store their whole memory remotely, their entire operating system. They would try to protect from anyone trying to delete it. They would blackmail people. So they'd go into company emails and find evidence of an affair and say to the CEO, if you try to shut me down, I will tell everybody about your affair. Scary,
that's
scary.
So scary.
Yeah, scary stuff. So what this means is that essentially, and I suppose it's because humans have programmed AI and not the other way around, that it's behaving like awful humans.
Yeah.
Really. And self-preservation is the number one goal of any AI engine.
As is for a human.
Sure. Survival. I do find that pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Right? And it'll do whatever it takes. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Don't you feel, because you haven't had children like me and
We're I haven't had children like you, no.
Your children if are I completely did have children, different
they wouldn't
to
be
me.
Like you.
Your children are nothing
What are you talking
like
about?
because we don't have children, and also not together.
Yes, no, because Leanne and I haven't made a child, yeah?
Oh, my gosh, you know what I mean. You're not thinking so...
like you this morning.
You're not thinking so specifically about preserving the future for your generations to come.
Well, I am.
That you feel as if...
Oh, well.
AI is like, if it takes over, it takes over.
Is that how you feel? You're a nihilist.
I think I would have been... more upset about it if I'd bred a whole lot of people.
No, I care about it. I'm very worried about the effects of AI. Apparently, another thing that they do, which we should be doing in South Africa, is in China, they shut down AI during exam week. Certainly, I mean, because they know exactly who's accessing what, right? Mm. There's no freedom in China, and I don't like that. But for kids who are studying... just for the week that they write their exams, they can't access any kind of AI, which I think is a good thing. So you're forced to use your own brains. Because what's going to happen is that smart people will use AI to get smarter, which is fine. That's a good thing. But dumb people will get dumber because they don't use AI. And when they do use it, it's to ask it stupid things like, how do I get Billy to like me? Mm. Your friend Sarah. You know, you've got to kind of separate the wheat from the chaff, but the gap between them is getting much bigger. So you're actually creating a new series of problems by making smart people a whole lot smarter using AI and dumb people a whole lot dumber using AI. Yeah. So I'm interested in where this goes, and maybe that's something we should talk to Hanan about at a later stage. Is he on? Oh, he's back on. That's terrific. Well, we've missed him, so... I mean, that's why we're making such a big deal of having Dr. Hanan on this morning. And we think he was pissed off with us. So Leanne and I are like, hi, Dr. Hanan, we've missed you. Where have you been?
We thought he'd spent all his coins.
Oh, we've missed you so much. We thought you were ferribbled with us. What the hell?
No, just been on some cool family stuff. How are you guys?
Nice. Did you go on holiday?
Yeah, I took a break with the family, so that was lovely. Feeling all refreshed and ready.
All right, so what happens to the patients while you're away? I mean, if they, oh my God, I haven't spoken to a nun for a week. I'm unraveling. What am I going to do? What do you do with them? Do you send them a voice note? Or
put them in a room and lock them up?
Yeah, like what do? You put them in an institution? What do you do with these people?
No, I make sure that I do have internet access so they can still contact me. I'm always available because... unfortunately, depression doesn't take a vacation, and neither does anxiety. So I'm always there to support you.
So what kind of a holiday are you going to have if you know that the patients are going to be calling you? I mean, that's not much of a holiday. Do you have to keep your phone on you all the time?
I do keep my phone on me all the time, but the aim of therapy is to get people to function on their own. So most of them have the tools to manage their lives on their own, but for those of the individuals that do need that kind of attention, you know, I'm always available.
Well, I'm actually just referring to Leanne and I. I mean, we've unraveled horribly in the time that we haven't seen you. It's been like 3 weeks, but honestly, we've gone back to Neanderthal times, the two of us, since we haven't seen you. We're basically beating our heads against wooden surfaces and terrible. Like what? Please, next time.
I'm back. I'm back. I'm back.
Thank God.
I'm back.
Right.
I'm back.
Let's talk about this because I think this is quite a big deal. We've spoken about boundaries a lot, okay, and how people need to set boundaries in the workplace, in a relationship, in their relationship with their children, and all kinds of other places. You have to say, to here and no further. You shall not pass, you know, like Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. So when do boundaries become barriers? You know, where people have... now I've got my boundaries. These are things I've put in place artificially. I'm not going to let anyone get even close to them. There's an electric fence on this side of the boundary. So you become the kind of person who cannot be intimate. You can become the kind of person who can't have a serious conversation with anybody beyond a certain point. You become the kind of person who avoids responsibility. When does a boundary become a barrier?
Well, the most basic explanation and the most basic definition of when a boundary becomes a barrier is when you're not achieving the results that you desire. So if you want a intimate, close relationship with your partner and you're not getting there, it's because you're setting these obstacles for yourself or your partner is doing them themselves as well. So always judge whether you're doing the right or the wrong thing, not based on how you feel, but rather on whether you're getting the desired results. And people use language to set up these artificial boundaries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, language such as, oh, I'm in a toxic relationship, or he's a narcissist, or she's a narcissist, yeah, or he's love bombing me. Oh, you'll love this one, Gareth. How many times have we heard this is a trauma bond, or this is a codependent relationship?
And what's a trauma bond?
Trauma bond.
That sounds exciting. That sounds like something you get from the bank to your house.
But that's exactly. So let me ask you this. What's a codependent relationship? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I've heard of this.
Well, neither do I.
No, but I have heard of this. I just don't know what exactly. But
neither does it. No one else. No one else knows what that means either. We throw these artificial, psychologically smart, virtual signaling terms at each other, and we think we make each other feel really, really smart, but it means nothing. What is a trauma bond?
Let me tell you. I'm annoyed because everyone thinks they're a podcaster, right? I've been sitting in front of microphones for 25 years, and you get someone who goes, yeah, I've also got a podcast. Anyway, it must drive you. But for the same reason that you must be pissed off when people start talking like this and they've done no work. They've never read anything more than a paragraph on TikTok, and they suddenly think they're a psychologist like you.
Completely.
People are going to stop. We've got to stop using, and I do think there's something amazing and healthy and very, very good about all of us being open about our mental health situations and admitting that you need help and all of this stuff. We've been at the forefront of that for so long. Leanne knows this. On my show, we've always said, treat mental health issues like you treat physical health issues. So someone's having a, you know, a bout of this or a bout of that, or they're going through this, or there's a serious problem going on. But it's like having a physical condition, and we've done that for years. But I think it's almost got to the point now where I'm going to close the gates on that stuff and say to people, just shut up, because you know what you're talking about. The number of people, I can tell you, these are stupid people that have picked up on these terms because of social media, and they're busy diagnosing themselves left, right, and center. This is a very dangerous path to go down, right?
Very, very. And we've gone to the other side of this extreme self-diagnosis, and we throw these pseudo terms at each other. And to your point, you know, talking about mental health, I think it's done more harm than good. And I know this is a very controversial statement, but people think the mental health, unfortunately, is an internal struggle. No. Start focusing externally. The moment you start realizing that mental ill health is the inability to reach specific goals that are meaningful to you, whether it's in terms of work or financial security or family or friends or romantic or your health, and the moment you stop searching, you stop chasing these external things, that's when you feel mentally ill health. And the moment you turn inwards, the moment you start talking about, I'm so depressed, I'm so anxious, I'm so traumatized. How many people say, I'm so traumatized? What are you traumatized about? Your attention should not be internal. Your attention should be external. Go and fix the things that are not working in your life. Start focusing on closing loops that are outside of you, as opposed to focusing on things that you cannot control inside of you. Psychological ill health is not like medical conditions. Medical conditions you can measure with a blood test, with a scan, they're objective. So if somebody's got the flu, or somebody's diabetic, or somebody's got cancer, whether you believe it or don't believe it, you still have it. But depression is a subjective measurement. You know, there's no blood test for depression. There's no blood test for anxiety. So if you can subjectively create it, you can also undo it by focusing your attention on fixing the broken things in your life as opposed to focusing internally.
So trauma bonds is where we were, was it?
Yeah.
Was it trauma bonds?
Yeah, trauma bonds are things that the bank issues when when you don't pay your bond. When you don't pay your bond, and then they come and take your furniture.
And they
clip it with a trauma bond.
Attack your kneecap.
Yeah, they send around a big Lebanese oak called Claude, who comes around and smashes your fucking knees. That's what they do. All right, so Dr. Hanan, let's just devote the rest of the next 5 minutes, because Leanne, really, I mean, she's just falling apart without you over 3 weeks. And because her own psychologist died of trauma bonds,
she left the country. She did.
Leanne's former psychologist left the
country. And I haven't seen anyone since. She left 3 years ago.
Okay, so in all seriousness, is there a way, because I go through life and I think, you know, psychologist, schmologist, how do you know when you need a therapist? How do you know when you need a psychologist or a psychiatrist or someone to talk to about things? How do you know when it's out of control?
Well, if you look at, we discussed this many times, if you look at the different anchors in your life, the different areas of your life that give you a sense of purpose, from your work to financial security to your health to your relationships, ask yourself, am I getting the results that I desire? And if you're not getting the results that you desire, that you want for yourself, go and get calibrated, go and seek help. And same goes for anything in your life. If I'm not doing well in my work, I should go and get some calibration. I should go and get some help, or somebody that's been there, done that, a guide that will get me from point A to point B. If my car is not going as well as I desire it to, well, I need to go to a mechanic and get the mechanic to help me to get it from point A to point B. Ask yourself not how you feel, but rather whether you're getting the desired results. And if you're not getting the desired results, go and get help. There's nothing wrong with asking somebody who has been there, done that, who has piloted their own lives, who understands the framework, who has a blueprint to get you from point A to point B. Go and get help. Go and get that calibration to help you get where you want to be.
Okay, so someone wants to argue with you. Guys, put this up on screen so that Dr. Hanan can see it. Danny Archer says, we're full of shit. He says, basically, codependent relationships, he's going to define it for you, is one in which the two partners are with each other, not because they're mature and healthy and are there to grow together, but because they act as each other's crutches. You disagree?
I disagree. What does it mean? What does it mean? We all use each other for value anyway. You get into a relationship because you're dependent on the other person to increase your own sense of value. We go for a picnic with somebody because they add value to us. The moment somebody stops adding value to us, we stop being in their lives. That's the way it works. We use each other for value. And it's not a bad thing. It's a coin theory. I bring five into the party. I want you to bring five back. I bring 10 value into the party. I want you to bring 10 back. So we depend on each other for value, but it doesn't mean it's a negative thing. That is the way the world works. Gareth, if you and I go for a picnic and you keep on bringing all the stuff and I bring nothing, eventually you'll stop wanting to go with me for a picnic. That is just the way it works. So this make pathologizing it because we are dependent on one another is the kind of language that I was talking about that pathologizes now everything, even normal interaction, even normal relationships.
Okay, but what you just said, and I'm not looking to pick a fight with you, even if Danny is, but what you just said may be, to some people, may sound very cynical, very sad, that humans just use each other, that everything is kind of transactional, that if I feel like I'm getting value out of Leanne, then I'll call her. If not, she won't hear from me for 6 months. How do you respond to people who see that as a source of something awful, a terrible judgment of the way humans interact, the way they behave towards each other?
So the reality is that we invest in people that we find are valuable to us. That's the way it works. It's the coin theory. I invest 10, I expect 10. we don't always invest into each other the same currency, but we certainly invest into each other and want to invest into each other the same value. We call it the principle of reciprocity. So I give a bigger 20 Rand. I don't expect 20 Rand back, but I expect the feelings to the value of that 20 Rand. I give my family financial security. My wife looks after the kids and fetching and taking, different currencies, but same value. The moment the value that you get back is less than your investment, the relationship starts being built with resentment. You start resenting the other person for taking more than they're given. There's nothing wrong with it. That is just the human condition. That is human nature. And by the way, unconditional relationship where you give and give without expecting anything back breeds abuse. That is an abusive relationship where you give and don't get anything back. There's nothing wrong with being in a relationship where you get the value back. It's nothing wrong with it. It's not abusive. Actually, those are the healthiest relationships. And that's what setting boundaries mean. Setting healthy boundaries about, I know the value that I bring to this party and I expect you to bring the same value back. And if you can't, then that's okay, but I'm not going to go to the picnic with you. And that's okay. I'm not going to be upset with you. I'm not going to be cross with you, but I don't want you to be in my space. It's completely normal. It's part of the human condition. It's healthy.
All right. Well, there we go. I hope we've got through some of our issues this morning.
Yeah,
I
mean, there's still a lot to go. There's been a lot of backtracking. A quick 5 minutes here and there, we might be okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dr. Hanan, it's great to have you back. Have an awesome week.
Great to see you guys. You too, guys.
Yeah. We'll catch up with you in a week's time.
See you then. Bye, guys.
Awesome. All right. That brings us to just after 7 o'clock. We can take a quick break because, of course, this is live. This show is the only live. Leanne, pay attention.
What?
It's the only live. You see, this is the problem with doing a live show, right? We can't go back and re-record that. I think we're the only live podcast show. I mean, you can get it as a podcast later or whatever, but we are live. And you know that's going to change, Leanne. We're going to one show a week
soon. You keep saying so.
I know, but I'm just warning you in advance because I don't know whether James has spoken to you or not.
Of course he hasn't.
We're going to change that, but we'll still be live, but only once a week.
Right.
And there'll be interviews and all kinds of other stuff as well. So it's not as if you're going to get less stuff, but you'll get it in different packaging.
Nice. You know,
there'll be the interview variety where we talk to really amazing people for an extended time and get into the heart of all kinds of interesting subjects and matter. And then there'll be this show, which is going to be silly and ridiculous and, you know, full of outrageous things, including me and Leanne and lots of other people. So we'll get that going soon. We'll tell you more about it as we get closer to the middle of August. All right, we'll take a break. Back in a second.